In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, today's Daily Ticker presented by Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Final Four was on Saturday. National Championship is tonight. Joining us now to talk about it, friend of the program, covering college football and basketball for 24/7 Sports, Carter Baines, at Carter Baines on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Carter, good morning to you. Have you gotten over the shock and awe of Duke blowing that lead yet on Saturday night?
Still reeling from that one. I did have Duke in my bracket, so that hurt a little bit. But the quality of the game, I think, made up for the pain of getting the pick wrong.
Well, where are you at, Carter, on Houston? Because they certainly deserved and earned that win the way that they played down the stretch and kind of put Duke in a little bit of a panic. But we also have the other side of this where Dirt's over here and he's basically like, great win, good for Kelvin Sampson, very excited for him to maybe get a national championship as a head coach, but I don't want to watch Houston. Where are you at on just kind of processing Houston being able to come back against a really fun, exciting Duke team, but their style of play maybe not being the most electric to watch?
Yeah, it's not always aesthetically pleasing, is it? I mean, that's just the way Kelvin Sampson teams are built. It's how they operate. And I think it's a testament to what he's built there at Houston that they were able to win a game playing that style where they're down by double digits to a team as talented as Duke. Like, that's a team that just has bought in to the extent where they say, you know what, let's just go get it done. We've been together for a couple of years. They've got the continuity. They've got the talent. They just played their style and, you know, they stuck with it and they got it done against what I think was by far the most talented team left in the field. It's impressive. I think it's the kind of win that could spark a little bit of juice here entering the championship game, where it's like, hey, we just won that game in the craziest way possible. Now let's just go win one more. There's just one more. Let's do it and go start to finish and beat Florida. I think that's the kind of game that can give you that lift. And I mean, I know they're a 1-point underdog, but it's coin flippy. And I think, I mean, nobody would be surprised if Houston beat Florida. As good of a run as Florida's been on, to win in that style and to beat Duke, in my mind, I think they have to be the favorite now.
See, I was going to say the same thing. As I saw that opening line, and it was Florida 1.5, and Florida certainly could win this game. Clayton's been awesome. I tend to just think Houston's going to say literally anybody else, and Florida's going to look around and say, maybe Elijah Martin, maybe. So we'll see what happens. But I kind of thought that would have been reversed in terms of who the favorite was. Sounds like you were also surprised that Florida opened the favorite versus Houston being a 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and it's not a knock against Florida. I think they're probably the most complete team in the tournament. The balance between backcourt and frontcourt, and then obviously the star power there with Walter Clayton Jr. Like, would it surprise me in the slightest if Florida won this game by 10? No. But I think what we've seen from Houston on this 18-game winning streak, which is the longest in the country by far, and I mean, obviously, a lot of those winning streaks ended in the tournament. I just think you have to give them the benefit of the doubt now. You know, they went through the Big 12. They lost one game. It was by 1 point to a Texas Tech team that was, I think, Final Four caliber. Like, I think they're just the slightly better team. I think that they are now, you know, of the one seeds that were in the Final Four, I think having beaten Duke, they have a very strong claim to be the best team in the country. They've beaten top-ranked teams all year. They probably haven't gotten the credit they deserved. And now they're one win away against a very good Florida team from saying, this is who we've been all year, and now it's time for you to take notice.
Yeah. We're talking with Carter Baines, covering college football and basketball for 24/7 Sports. Friend of the program, at Carter Baines on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. Kind of a bigger picture one for you. I'm curious to ask, man. Like, we've talked about this throughout the course of the tournament, and I want to get your thoughts on it because you follow it closer than we do. The two storylines that have been kind of hanging over the tournament have been the death of the Cinderella, what happened to the underdog, and will it ever come back, because so many guys are in the portal, and these teams that used to be able to rely on guys sticking around for a couple of years and going on runs doesn't seem like it's going to exist. And people thought, well, that's going to have a negative impact on the tournament. And then the ratings have been the best that we have seen in forever. And I saw the numbers from the Final Four, the early look-ahead numbers yesterday afternoon, I think. The numbers for the Auburn-Florida and the Duke-Houston game were massive, and especially that Duke-Houston game. I'm curious why you think, because if I were to break it down, like, hey, how do you feel like the tournament's gone? I would say it's been a little lackluster. Like, it's good to have household names. You got number one seeds involved, but not a lot of buzzer beaters, only one overtime game. So hasn't been a lot of stuff coming down to the wire. Why do you think so many more people are watching this tournament than maybe have in years past?
Yeah, the beauty of March Madness, obviously, you get the Cinderellas and the buzzer beaters. And when you lose that, I think the first two weekends, and specifically, you know, the first 4 days of the tournament lost some of that. And I don't think it caused people to tune out per se, but I think there was that aura of disappointment that, you know, man, it just doesn't have the same juice. But it's a double-edged sword, right? Because the fewer mid-major teams and low-major teams you have in the second weekend means the more high-major teams and the more 1-4 seeds you have, which sets up for just what has been an incredible final week and a half of the tournament, right? Like, would you trade an 11 seed making it to the Final Four for all 4-1 seeds? I think most people, you know, would say, man, I love having that 11 seed make that Cinderella run. But then they get to the Final Four and they see the quality of game we've had. And it's like, okay, maybe that was worth it.
I think I look at Walter Clayton and I can't help but wonder what he's going to be in the NBA. And he's been awesome. Like, this is all-time NCAA tournament stuff that we've seen from him. And we'll see if he can kind of put them over the top and get this national championship. But 34, with Auburn knowing that he was going to be their bucket getter, I mean, it's really remarkable. I can't wait to see how Samson and Houston play him. What do you make of Walter Clayton, the play in the tournament? And when you look at him, trying to decide what he is as an NBA player, because he's 22, he's a 6'2" guard, but he's been unstoppable up until this point.
Yeah, I have seen him move up some mock drafts and you know, some big boards, and I think deservedly so. Like, the tournament can be where players kind of stake their claim to being one of those under the radar, really exciting prospects in the draft. And, you know, it's a guy who was basically a zero-star prospect out of high school. He went to Iona, developed under Rick Pitino. I think that clearly did wonders for him. Transfers up to Florida, now he's having the run of the tournament. You know, I think he's the most outstanding player of the tournament if Florida wins, and nobody's going to argue that. How he translates to the NBA, like, sure, maybe he's not the biggest, and maybe he doesn't have this amazing prospect background, and maybe he's still a back end of the first round kind of guy, but there are some players where when you just watch them play, you know that they have it, right? And, like, I hesitate to make this comparison because nobody is Steph Curry, but some of the shots he has made in the tournament are Steph Curry-esque, right? Like, the ones where he's spinning around and he's got his back to the basket, and a tenth of a second later, the ball's up in the air and he makes it over a defender. Like, those are the kinds of plays that will translate to the NBA. The sidestep threes with a hand in his face, those are shots that not every college player can make. There are a lot of very good college players who don't pan out in the NBA. I think he is an underrated college player who will thrive in the NBA.
Yeah. Carter Baines, great stuff, covering college basketball for 24/7 Sports. You can check some of his write-ups on the tournament. The 24/7 site, at Carter Baines on Twitter as well, is where you can go find all of his great work. Thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the national championship tonight, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yep, thanks, guys. Hopefully it's a good game tonight.